What's up, capitalists? Hey, we're going to munch popcorn while the palaces burn. I'm Nate Houseman, your guide to the 21st century, and we got to talk about Elon Musk and the court case that's coming up with Twitter, because so much is going to come out in the open. You know, people are saying, hey, he's just trying to negotiate a lower cost on the acquisition. I think a lot more is going on. I think what's going on is Elon may or may not be one of the white hat patriots who, along with Donald Trump, is trying to like bring down the whole deep state New World Order system. And Elon's role is to expose big tech, and he's doing it through Twitter. So I'm going to go through several articles about the situation. If you find this content valuable, please share it. Give it a thumbs up on whatever platform you're viewing it on, whether it's YouTube, Rumble, Odyssey, or the podcast. And also click on the link to my website, and I've got several resources for you here. I got some affiliate links to Patriot Resources. I've got a cool merch store. And if you click on the Work With Me tab on my website, you can sign up for some white label web design services. So if you've got a small business, or if you're interested in starting a business, you need a website, and I'll get you started with that. So I don't offer things just to offer them. I offer services and products and resources that I honestly feel can help people thrive in the economy. So please take advantage. You'll support yourself and you'll be supporting me. So let's get to it. Elon posted a meme last night, pretty much confirming what I suspected. For those of you listening to the podcast, you might have seen this already. The meme says, they said I couldn't buy Twitter. Then they wouldn't disclose bot info. Now they want to force me to buy Twitter in court. Finally, now they have to disclose bot info in court. And Elon, in each panel, Elon is laughing harder and harder. So Elon wants this fight. And we've got a great article on theconservativetreehouse.com. I'm going to link to it in the description. So I'm going to read parts of it, but I encourage you to read the whole thing. It's pretty juicy. It starts, Elon Musk has notified Twitter and the SEC that he is exercising his right to terminate the merger agreement and abandon the transaction contemplated due to the social media company not providing transparent access to background data that would allow authentication of monetized daily active users. That's the ostensible reason. It appears that Twitter did not want to reveal how Jack's Magic Coffee Shop, that's the blog's kind of like little nickname for Twitter. It appears that Twitter did not want to reveal how Jack's Magic Coffee Shop was able to sustain operations at an extremely high cost without making money. That's the essential source of the issue. The social media company did not want anyone looking at the data stream inside the communication platform. That is, they didn't want anyone who wasn't authorized to see that. You know, we know that Twitter offers its firehose of data to several, you know, media marketing companies, and if they pay enough up front. Musk was not allowed to authenticate the number of real users and identify the number of spam or bot accounts within the platform. Then the article goes on to quote the letter to the SEC, and I'll kind of skip to after that. In April of this year, the social media company Twitter said revenue for the first quarter totaled $1.2 billion. However, costs and expenses totaled $1.33 billion, resulting in an operating loss of $128 million. Another unsustainable financial result for a company that doesn't make a dime of profit, yet it continues to operate, and it operates partly through, you know, investor capital on the stock market. But there's another source of support. The metaphorical Jack had a great idea. Open a coffee shop where the beverages were free and use internal advertising as an income subsidy to operate the business. Crowds came for the free coffee, comfy couches, fellowship, conversation, and enjoyment. It didn't matter where Jack got the coffee, how he paid for it or didn't, or what product advertising the customers would be exposed to while there. Few people thought about such things. Curiously, it didn't matter what size the crowd was. In the back room of Jack's coffee shop, they were able to generate massive amounts of never-ending free coffee at extreme scales. Over time, using the justification of parking lot capacity and township regulations, not everyone would be able to park and enter. Guards were placed at the entrance to pre-screen customers, a debate began. And that's just, that's the metaphor for censorship on Twitter. Alternative coffee shops opened around town. It was entirely possible to duplicate Jack's coffee shop, yet no one could duplicate the business model for the free coffee. Indeed, there's something very unique about Jack's coffee shop. Thus, some underlying suspicions were raised. The only way Twitter, with 217 million users, could exist as a viable platform is if they had access to tech systems of incredible scale and performance, and those systems were essentially free or very cheap. The only entity that could possibly provide that level of capacity and scale is the United States government, combined with a bottomless bank account, a public-private partnership. If my hunch is correct, Elon Musk is poised to expose the well-kept secret that most social media platforms are operating on U.S. government tech infrastructure and indirect subsidy. Let that sink in. And part of that subsidy is Wall Street. I'm going to talk about that in another video later this week, just how the system of corporate investing in corporations and startups, how they're funded basically by funny money. The U.S. technology system, the assembled massive system of connected databases and server networks, is an operating infrastructure that offsets the cost of Twitter to run their own servers and databases. The backbone of Twitter is the United States government. And then it goes through a timeline of this in June 2013 and November 2013 when Twitter was started. Jack's Magic Coffee Shop has been for sale on the stock market, but there's no viable business model in the private sector. No one has wanted to purchase Twitter. It is simply unsustainable. The data processing costs, specifically the server data processing demand for simultaneous active users, exceeds the capacity of the platform to generate revenue. Until now. And Elon Musk said, I have an offer. Suddenly, the people who work in the backroom of Jack's Magic Coffee Shop did not want Jack to sell. And then the article goes on about how the author suspects that social media is part of, what they call the fourth branch of government, which is intelligence. These supposedly private companies, they're able to gather data on their users, and then as private companies, they're able to do that, not have to worry about the Constitution and the Fourth Amendment, the need for a warrant. Then they're able to offer that information to the intelligence services. So a lot of, the article argues that big tech is basically a workaround for spying on people. So, like I said, I encourage you to read the whole article. I'm going to link to it in the description. But moving on, Twitter is suing Elon Musk for not going through the merger, and like I said, Elon wants this fight. Twitter is gearing up for a court case, and we know Elon's been preparing since May. According to a Gateway pundit, Twitter is laying off employees and blocking a million spam accounts per day as the Musk deal goes south. This was reported on Friday. This kind of tells me that they're probably like shredding documents or burning documents and deleting documents, and that's a big no-no because the cover-up is what always gets you. And we know that back in May, Elon declared that, hey, he wants to assemble a team of lawyers. Supposedly it was to fight the bogus sexual harassment allegation, but he announced that he wants a team of lawyers, street fighters he calls them, to report directly to him, and I think it was in preparation for this. So, and it's worth noting that this is not the only court case that's going to, blow the lid off of Twitter. A couple notable stories I've mentioned in the past is the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton. He launched an investigation against Twitter for potentially deceiving Texas consumers over the bots. And another story that's been around for at least a year is Dr. Shiva. He's an important person. He's the inventor of email, and he ran for Congress in the state of Minnesota. And I'm going to read this article as well in its entirety because it's It's also a doozy. This is off of the Gateway Pundit. Arabian princes came out of the woodwork, not to mention the hysteria from the left. These very same blue-haired dipshits who championed censorship a year ago, claiming Twitter had every right to ban a sitting president, suddenly began screaming for the government to reform Section 230. Whee! Funny how the moment an African-American threatens to take over their precious echo chamber, they have an absolute meltdown. Who are supposed, and we're supposed to be the racists, we being the conservative side. Then came the Twitter poison pill, a desperate move in an attempt to block Elon Musk's hostile takeover completely. The announcement came yesterday that Twitter would damage the share value if anyone amassed more than a 15% of the company by selling to other shareholders at discounted cost. This article was written in on April 23rd, so this is kind of a good recap of what's been going on. Thus proving once and for all that big tech doesn't give a shit about money or what is best for their shareholders. So if it's not about money, what is it they're really interested in? Why are they willing to destroy themselves in order to prevent a hostile takeover that would actually benefit them? Are they just that devoted to their left-wing agenda, or is something else going on here? Could it be they're hiding something? And where the conservative treehouse was speculating, this lawsuit may actually provide proof. Not too long ago, Dr. Shiva was in the fight of his life, uncovering a shocking connection between big tech and governments around the world! Exclamation point. The discovery process in his lawsuit revealed historic revelations, arguably more than any big tech lawsuit in history. The government's collusion with big tech to encroach on our First Amendment rights was put on display for all to see. All of this is so relevant right now, it's a wonder why no one is talking about it. Well, I'm glad to bring it up again. Dr. Shiva ran in the Massachusetts Republican primaries just before the general election and noticed that strangely, he'd won in what appeared to be a landslide, but only in the counties that hand-counted their ballots. On the other hand, in the counties that used machines, he lost. That's not weird at all. Obviously, he wanted some answers, so he went directly to the Secretary of State to request the ballot images and take a look at exactly what happened. Dr. Shiva essentially wanted to conduct an audit of the election. However, the Secretary of State's office replied, "We deleted them." You heard that right. They didn't have the ballot images, which they were required to retain by law. Needless to say, Shiva went ahead and exposed the email communications between the Secretary of State office and himself on Twitter. At the time, he had roughly 250,000 followers. Now, what do you think would happen next? You guessed it. He was banned instantly. What a coincidence. Now, let's think about that for a second. Dr. Shiva is running for a federal U.S. Senate seat in the general elections and was banned off of social media in the middle of his campaign the minute he showed emails between he and the public and a public official admitting to breaking the law. Here comes the juicy part. In the preliminary court proceedings, the state actors admitted under oath they have trusted Twitter partnership. They describe this in detail. They explain that in order to get Dr. Shiva banned off Twitter, all they had to do was contact Twitter through their own private portal and tell them Dr. Shiva was spreading election misinformation. And just like that, he's banned. Do you understand the magnitude of this? Big Tech is allowing the government to reach through Twitter and censor on their behalf. This is a clear, 100% undeniable violation of the First Amendment. We're not just talking about a private company anymore. We're talking about a private company laundering censorship to the government, reaching through Twitter via a hotline and telling them what to ban. In this case, they silenced the speech of a political candidate in the middle of his campaign. That is some serious shit. Oh, but it doesn't stop there. Dr. Shiva went on to discover just how deep the rabbit hole goes. He discovered that what happened to him was no isolated incident. In fact, what he found was an entire criminal enterprise. A surveillance system to surveil, blacklist, and silence. Twitter, with the Harvard Belfer Center, the Department of Homeland Security, CISA, and billionaires including Pierre Omidyar and Mark Zuckerberg, all working together in a massive conspiracy. And there's a big flow chart on this article. I think I'll link to this article as well. And it's a lot to go through. Continuing with the article, I found a document written by the head of Twitter legal counsel in England talking about how they had set up the partner support portal to enable the government the Parliamentary Security Forces of Britain to report on what they called potential threats through Twitter. That same infrastructure was deployed in India in the recent election, and then also deployed in Taiwan, Australia, and was brought here in 2020 to the United States. As you can see, this isn't just an isolated incident. This is systemic, global. The man literally found playbooks used to train staff on controlling speech around elections. And a picture of the election influence operations playbook. And okay, it's just a picture of the cover. I was hoping it would link to like a PDF document. But this is the actual training manual used for assessing the risk level of certain influencers, like the author. The manual instructs that the influencers be tracked, monitored, and silenced if they pose a significant threat. Now, coming back to Elon Musk, here we sit at the crossroads with the potential for a based billionaire to intervene and seize control of this criminal enterprise. What happens if a guy like Elon performs a hostile takeover and takes over this corrupt company? I'll tell you, he sees along with it all the data, the algorithms, the history, the evidence. Mind you, Twitter has sworn under oath before U.S. Congress that they do not engage in any of these practices and that their algorithms do not contain any inherent bias. The United States government and governments around the world are at risk of losing one of their greatest assets for spying, tracking, silencing, rigging elections, and pushing their globalist agenda. They also risk total exposure. And let me tell you, they will not allow that to happen, not under any circumstances, not without a fight. This is the U.S. government we're talking about here. I'm actually surprised that Elon hasn't already committed suicide, which tells me that Joe Biden's probably not in control. And neither is the cabal. We see now that Twitter is prepared to self-destruct in order to preserve its dirty little well-kept secrets. But the author has a feeling that Elon knew this in advance. He has a relationship with Jack Dorsey. Maybe Jack is in on this with Elon? We know he has been in communication with other investment groups. This is not the end. Something big is about to happen. And the author has a funny feeling Elon has a few tricks up his sleeve. Did he say there was a plan B if they rejected his offer? He did say there was a plan B if they rejected his offer, didn't he? Now, I have no idea what plan B is, but something tells me Elon isn't the kind of guy who does things willy-nilly. He's already exposed them for the anti-capitalists they are. So what does he do next? Your guess is as good as mine. Only time will tell. I have a feeling we're about to witness one of the most pivotal moments in modern history. And I, for one, am hype. So that's a really good article. I'm going to link that in the description as well. And the Attorney General of Texas, he's in on this. You know, when it comes to Jack Dorsey, you know, he gave Elon his blessing to buy Twitter. And he admitted that he was partially responsible for the centralization of the internet. Twitter founder Jack Dorsey admits he's partially to blame for a centralized internet. And now, I don't fully trust Jack Dorsey, but I'm also going to give him the benefit of the doubt, because he's working on some projects, which I'll get to later. And there's a whole new infrastructure being built by Elon Musk, by Jack Dorsey, and also by the rightful President Trump to hopefully be a life raft for the public to get off big tech. So before we get into that, let me tell you about one of those platforms. It's Locals. I have a Locals group. I've had it since 2020, but I'm really getting serious about it now. So if you click on the link and join my Locals group, you can support the channel in this way if you choose. I have exclusive content. I just recorded an exclusive video for supporters to view if you pay $5 a month. Locals is like a free speech version of Patreon and Discord combined. So join this group, and let's look at one of the developments on Locals. As soon as the page loads, I've got so many tabs open, it's silly. I got so many browser windows open up too, because I've got other videos in the pipeline. Locals adds a new feature that makes it easier to monetize live streams. So if you're interested, I might do a live stream sometime, maybe once a week, and you can either be a channel, be a member, or you can tip me on that. So that's another alternative to like YouTube streams or Twitch streams. I'm really excited about Rumble. You know, Rumble and True Social are teaming up, and they both run as smooth as silk, and so does Locals. So big things are happening. So back to Jack Dorsey. This is from BitcoinMagazine.com. Jack Dorsey's Block is building a Bitcoin mining system. So Block is what you probably heard of Square. You know, Block is the company's new name, which is run by Jack Dorsey. It's a payment processing service, and it's been accepting Bitcoin as payments. And apparently Jack has had some stings of conscience about centralizing the internet, so he wants to decentralize it again. So he's big on making Twitter open source or promoting open source, you know, digital platforms. And he's really excited about Bitcoin. He thinks Bitcoin is a great thing because it's decentralized. You know, no single person or organization controls Bitcoin. And he wants to make it easier to mine Bitcoin and for regular people. Not just people or companies with massive computers. So that's one thing that's in development. Another thing in development is Truth Social, which was President Trump's, you know, pet project. It's being run by former Congressman Devin Nunes. Nunes is the CEO of Truth Social. Trump had a rally in Alaska Saturday. I watched part of it on Rumble, and he appeared to go after Elon during the event. He says the Twitter deal was a pretty rotten contract. You know, during an event in Alaska on Saturday, Trump went after Musk, saying the Tesla chief says he's never voted Republican, while pointing out that Musk previously told him that he had voted for Trump. Trump went on to call Musk another bullshit artist, to which I asked, you know, bullshitter towards whom? The president's attack on Musk comes after the Tesla CEO named Florida Republican candidate Ron DeSantis as his preferred candidate for the 2024 presidential election. Trump also talked about Musk's decision to call off his $44 billion planned purchase of Twitter Inc., finally saying he's not going to buy Twitter. Trump acknowledged that Musk had a good reason to walk away from the deal. He's got a pretty rotten contract. I looked at his contract. Not a good contract. And you got to wonder, why would Trump be able to see the contract unless Elon showed him? They're probably working together. They just can't, you know, say it directly. You know, I also suspect that Trump is a fan of Bitcoin, but he can't say that directly. You know, he's called Bitcoin dangerous and that it seems like a scam, but that's because a lot of other supposed cryptocurrencies, they are definitely scams. He didn't say for whom Bitcoin is dangerous. It's very dangerous for the central banks and for the centralized power structures around the world. So there's also the fact that Melania celebrated Bitcoin's anniversary on January 3rd. She posted some congratulations on social media. So I have a suspicion that Trump is secretly on board. It's funny. Trump and Elon and Dorsey, they do say some things out in the open. Like they'll criticize certain people and they'll, you know, support certain people. They say those things out in the open. But they also have to do things indirectly, because we're dealing with a system that's so gigantic. It's nothing less than the New World Order. And the Communist Party of China is probably part of that too. It is massive, it's gigantic, it's the globalist system, and we're just finding out how big and what a leviathan it is. So you cannot take it on directly. You got to expose it bit by bit. And that's what I think these titans of industry are doing. Like I said, I'm not fully convinced, you know, Jack Dorsey's, you know, I'm not fully convinced we can trust him, but I am giving him the benefit of the doubt. So going on with True Social here. I've been on it for since I think it was April, and it's not available for Android yet, but the website is up and available, and they've been talking about a very strange thing on Truth Social. You know, Elon Musk has been talking about socks, and Cash Patel, who's one of, you know, Trump's inner circle, he's been promoting like socks with the, he's been selling, he's promoting socks for sale with the Punisher logo. So yeah, Elon tweeted out, "I find the gold toe sock inevitably off kilter and washed out, a little troubling aesthetically and arguably a bit corpo." He says, "I'm a veritable sock aficionado. Something, always something new for the magazine cover and articles practically write themselves. SockCon, the conference for socks." And Ultra Peppy Lives Matter on Twitter, on Truth Social, is putting something together here. He says, "What do we have here? Socks. Socks is a technology term. Socks is a circumvention tool allowing traffic to bypass internet filtering to access content otherwise blocked, e.g. by governments, workplaces, schools, and country-specific web services. Since socks is very detectable, a common approach is to present a socks interface for more sophisticated protocols." And there's a Wikipedia page on socks. And Ultra Peppy Lives Matter continues. So Elon went and visited the Pope, and now he appears to be coordinating with Trump by talking about socks. Trump misspelled socks and wrote socks and retruthed a sock account 3 days ago, and Cash Patel was wearing Punisher socks and highlighted then. I've got to wonder what was said or what happened with the Pope. There is definitely things going on behind the scenes that we aren't privy to, but they appear to be giving us hints. What do you think? So they're probably giving us a hint that we need to look into sock technology as a way of getting around, you know, firewalls and getting around, you know, barriers to protected information. That's not the only thing in the works. You've probably heard of Starlink, which is another one of Elon's projects. Elon, there's Starlink.com, and Starlink's pretty pricey. It costs over $100 per month to use, and there's like a $599, you know, hardware fee. But Starlink is satellite internet. You know, it's being used in Ukraine and in Russia because, you know, it's openly available to several, you know, countries who are struggling with their internet infrastructure. It's being used as an internet like alternative to like traditional landline internet or land-based internet. So, and why is this important? Well, if, you know, if Twitter gets exposed and big tech gets exposed and we're seeing a whole bunch of information being exposed online, the deep state's last resort is an internet blackout. And we actually got a taste of that in Canada. This story may seem unrelated, but it's kind of an example of what we can expect. Rogers Internet Services says services mostly restored after day-long outage left millions offline. So Rogers services are back online after day-long outage at the telecom giant that left millions of Canadians without internet and cellular service while also disrupting government services and payment systems. This was last week, July 8th. What also happened at that time was Peter Nygaard. Rogers Network outage forces delay in Peter Nygaard's bail hearing on sex charge. So the disgraced fashion mogul, currently in Toronto jail, was to make a Montreal court appearance by video conference. But what happened? The Rogers internet outage happened. So you gotta wonder, when we finally find out, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell's client list. And I am confident, you know, that investigation is going on. We're gonna find that out. When we find out the truth about the Federal Reserve, when we find out a lot of things, you know, the deep state is gonna want to, you know, put the lid on it. and shut off the internet. So we've got Sox, we've got Starlink, we've got a lot of ways to get around that. And I come back to this topic all the time. The reason why it seems so bad right now, why, you know, the economy's in the dumps and why the Democrats are so ruthless and so brazen about their, you know, election theft and election fraud is because they're losing. They're getting desperate. So we got to keep the pressure up and we got to, you know, share, you know, fight the information war. So with that, I will leave you. If you want to support the program, again, share it, give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and click on the link to NateHausman.net and take advantage of what all the goodies I have to offer. I'm Nate Hausman, and I'm letting you know that it's okay to stand up for yourself. Have a good one.